BP doubles down on oil and gas spending as it announces record profits. Live from the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. Will Bain back with you. Thanks for being with us. BP's chief executive, Bernard Looney, says we need to continue investing in oil and gas, in his words, to make sure the energy transition is an orderly one. What that looked like was more spending on renewables, but also more spending on oil and gas too, as the company announced profits more than doubled to just shy of $28 billion. However, it scaled back its green targets, saying it will now only reduce carbon emissions by 25% by 2030, rather than a previous promise to cut them by 40%. So should that pace be quicker? I asked Cornelia Meyer, former oil exec and CEO of Meyer Resources in Bern, Switzerland.
In order to do all of these investments into greener sources of energy, of carbon-free sources of energy, you need investment. And if the companies like Shell, like BP, and Total, the three who really, really see themselves as energy companies, not just oil companies, want to make that sort of investment, they need hefty profits. And you see that Bernard Looney, the CEO of BP, came out and said they will put an extra about $16 billion into investment, and half of it will go to clean energy, half of it will go to oil and gas, because in the meantime, we still need some oil and gas.
Yeah, that was $8 billion each way in those of new investments. But he also scaled back the company's overall ambitions between now and 2030, didn't he? Down from 40% to 25%. So you can see why people are worried.
Yes, but, you know, he also, reality hits home. When these very lofty ambitions were tabulated, it was a time when we didn't have a war in the Ukraine, and the war in the Ukraine has really rejigged the energy landscape. Everybody still wants to do much, much more on renewable energy, including BP. Reality is there that in the meantime, we have huge gaps and which we need to fill, particularly in Europe, on fossil fuels.
Is that the long and short of it? That people still want energy that they can actually afford in the short term?
Absolutely. That is the long and short of it. You look at BP has made this projections that by 2050, we could be down to about only 20% of current oil consumption. But then when you look into what that would all take, it's just not realistic. In the meantime, people still need to heat their homes and power their cars and have energy.
Cornelia Meyer, CEO of Meyer Resources, speaking to us from Bern, Switzerland. Thanks so much for your time, as always.
Thank you.
Well, let's do the numbers now. In London, the FTSE 100 up 0.5% right now. BP, of course, a FTSE member, and its shares, perhaps unsurprisingly, are up sharply on those record profits, up 3.5% at the moment. On Tokyo's Nikkei, shares in the video games firm Nintendo down slightly as the company scaled back its full-year profit forecasts, saying the global chip shortage had dampened sales of its Switch console. Big auto news this week as well, as Japanese firms Nissan and Mitsubishi, along with the French firm Renault, renewed the vows, so to speak, of their alliance. There have been fears the business marriage might break up, with concerns Renault had too much control, particularly given the large stake the French government owns in the firm. But speaking to the BBC, the Nissan chief operating officer Ashwani Gupta dismissed those fears.
Moving forward, what's very important is we share the common value. We need to have performance in each one of the company. The moment we do that, it creates a clear ownership in each member of each partner company that why we are doing it. And then the question comes how we are going to do it, which was not the case in the previous alliance. Previous alliance was what to do and then how to do. But I think now we are answering the question why we should do it.
The UK could soon be getting a digital pound. It's something the government and the central bank, the Bank of England, are exploring. The virtual money would live in the wallet on your smartphone rather than with a specific bank. The BBC's Sean Farrington has been finding out a bit more from David Birch, who's an expert and advisor on digital currencies.
Let's say I need to send you a tenner for that pizza last night, and I do it through online banking or something. The money goes from my bank and it goes through some kind of clearing and settlement systems and ends up at your bank, and that's great. But in the future, you're talking about a digital currency that would go from my phone to your phone, or from my phone to your laptop, or from my car to your phone, or whatever, across the internet without ever going through the banking network. And the hope is, that, of course, that that will be cheaper and simpler I think the way to think about this is not as a sort of product in its own right. It's not that there's something desperately wrong with my debit card when I go around to the supermarket. It's just that the digital pound will be a platform for innovation. It will be a way to build new products and services. So it's very different from the money we have now.
At the minute, with our bank accounts, if that bank goes bust, then you will still have your money protected because that's how the system is looking after your money. Who will be in charge of our money then if we used this other platform that doesn't rely on banks?
Well, the Bank of England will be in charge of it. But I mean, it's not that you're going to go around to the Bank of England and open up an account at the Bank of England and they'll give you a wallet. What the bank is proposing to do, essentially, and actually most central banks are proposing the same thing, is that they will give licenses to people. I might like to have a sort of Barclays wallet to store my electronic money in, but I might want an Aldi wallet to do it, or a Jaguar wallet to do it, or, you know, or a Disney wallet to do it. I mean, these will be licensed, of course. So the Bank of England will control it, but they won't run those wallets. As to how things like consumer protection will work, that's the point of the consultation that's underway at the moment.
David Birch with Sean Farrington there. Joe and Jack have been our team in the studio here. Thanks to you for listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.